Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM.
Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're doing a tour around Boston.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Hey there, and welcome to another edition of Travel Tuesday here on Millennial Money, and we are back.
Yes, we are back from our hiatus, and we're excited to bring you lots of travel tips.
Yeah, we're rested. We're like a little bit tan from our vacation that we'll mention in a future podcast as well, too, right?
Just a little bit. A little bit tan. We're kind of in the peely stage now.
I mean, you're always tanner than me anyway, so... So we're coming back and we're going to talk about now one of our favorite cities. I love this city a lot, is Boston.
Yeah, I hadn't been to Boston since I was a little kid, and last year, right?
Yeah.
Last year I went twice to Boston and had kind of a different experience. We were there in the winter and I was there in the summer. So one time we were freezing to death and the other time I was definitely getting a little schwitzy, so it was a cool kind of dichotomy to have between Boston.
And I've never been to Boston. There's many times I was supposed to go to Boston for whatever reason it kind of got changed. My plans changed, so I've never been before. And I've really always wanted to check out the historic side of Boston. I still want to go to check out more of New England, but we're going to do that on a separate trip. But I absolutely fell in love with the city. It's really great. I'm still have a love-hate relationship, more of a hate-hate relationship with their sports teams because they've just broken my heart too many times and won too many championships in my lifetime. But the city is just great. There's just so much food to go check out. There's really great bars, you know, high-end bars, just great beer bars. There's, of course, the history. Like one of the things I checked out was the Freedom Trail, which you could actually go. It's an interactive thing where people dress up, that your tour guides actually dress up and take you on all the historic sites of Boston. I think that's a much more interesting thing than just going to a museum. I mean, this is like almost like a live museum with the heart of the city, in the heart of the city.
Yeah, and we live in Los Angeles, and if you've not visited here before, we don't have history. Yeah. We don't really have tours like that or anything that feels...
You can go to missions, but that's about it.
Yeah, but nothing that feels, yeah. I think, really like authentically America or history. So for us, it's always fun when we get to go to the East Coast and experience that because it's just not something we deal with on a daily basis. But a lot of you live in cities where you have that, you know, that's like right outside your front door. So, you know, it's probably... like commonplace for you, but for people who don't live there, it's a really interesting thing to see.
Right. And so for this episode, what we decided to give you, you know, our perspective of Boston and how much we loved that, hanging out there. And then also we spoke with three locals there, three different locals, and a couple of them also being gigantic Boston sports fans, but which I totally respect, you know.
You gotta love your city. Hate the Lakers hate the Bulls and
right.
Whatever.
And the chant Beat LA started in Boston. So more reason why we don't, but it make up for the great, but it's still a great sports town. And one of the things that we checked out too, which was totally fascinating to me, and I still need to catch a game there, we actually toured Fenway Park before it was open for the season in early March, and we actually went to Naked Fenway before they actually installed the field too.
Yes, and I am not, give me any other sport other than hockey and baseball, I'm not a baseball fan, but I mean, I have
to
admit,
that was interesting.
It was interesting, and I kept asking, oh, what's this, what's that? You kept talking about this green monster thing. I'm like, I don't see a green monster.
If you don't know, it's the big wall out in left field. So
it did not make sense.
Which you could actually
sit
there. You could actually sit there. I would actually like to sit there. So, but it is one of the oldest stadiums in the you know, next to, I think, Wrigley Field. I can't remember. They are older. Or
I don't know.
Wrigley's older.
They're old.
But,
they're
but
all
both
old.
Of them are really totally interesting. And because they're in a neighborhood, you know, and so I think a lot of times when we go to stadiums, they're you know, either outside or outskirts, even in cities you guys probably live in, you know, the stadiums can be on the outskirts. Well, you know, Fenway Park's right in the heart of a neighborhood, and not only neighborhood, but it's a neighborhood that has kind of really had this resurgence. And Fenway Park is obviously one of the most, you know, popular, you know, baseball stadiums in the world. They do concerts there and all kinds of stuff. But the neighborhood was not always the best, and now this neighborhood is totally thriving. And later on in one of our interviews, you know, one of our guys that we talked to, he says, you can hang out in that neighborhood now just all day long. Catch a game, go to some bars, go to some, you know, great places to eat there and stuff. So I think that's exciting. But to start off, we stayed in two different places when we went too. And one of the other revamped neighborhoods is the Seaport area of Boston, right in the harbor. And we stayed at the Envoy Hotel, which is one of those cool autograph collection hotels. I really like that hotel a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those with the funky shower and bath and cool toiletries.
It was a cool location right on the harbor, and you walk right out, and there's lots of really great restaurants, and it was totally growing. Like, there was construction everywhere.
Yeah, we had a view of the harbor and some cool restaurants we could walk to, and you know, it's always like the first night you get to a hotel in a new city, and you're like, I have no idea where I am, but it's a good place to start, you know, exploring. And I found most things. I mean, it was the dead of winter; it was very cold.
Yeah.
But, you know, we walked everywhere and, you know.
It's a really good walkable city, too. And they have some good public transportation.
And Uber was cheap from the airport. So that is always, you know, in LA, we don't know those words. So that's always a welcome surprise when you can get from the airport to your hotel in, yeah, like, what, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. And so we stayed there a couple nights, and then we also stayed at a rock and roll hotel, The Verb, which is a really cool hotel, a little small, at least you'd be a motor lodge. And again, it's in the revamped Fenway area. And right down the street is, like, one of our favorite restaurants, Sweet Cheeks Barbecue, which you don't always equate barbecue in Boston. But that place was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, the hotel was just it's a different feel than, the first hotel that we stayed at. But that's kind of what we like to do. And I think that's a good tip, I think, for anybody who wants to maybe, like, incorporate some luxury, but then also do something maybe funky or boutique. Is, you know, stay a night or two at maybe a higher priced place in a different area of town. So especially in a big city like Boston, that way you can experience the different areas of the city and you kind of have a different feel for, you know, that particular city, different restaurants, you know, all of those sorts of things. So I think that's really cool. I mean,
and they have a really great restaurant, a really great bar. And it's literally steps from Fenway Park. So say if you went and saw a concert like last summer and this summer, they have big, huge concerts there this year and this summer, and you could just stay in this hotel or you can go to the House of do you a weekend road trip and go see a gig at the House of Blues, which is right around the corner there too and stuff. So
yeah, absolutely. You know, and both places had their own kind of unique charm. Yeah. And so again, it just kind of depends on what kind of vibe you're looking, yeah, for, but I think it just shows the great diversity of hotels that are in a city like as most big cities. But it's nice to see, you know, there that there is not just your fancy schmancy hotels, which you might think of, but there's, you know, cool funky boutique places in these cool neighborhoods, especially, yeah, if you're a sports fan. I mean, that's,
yeah, I mean, know, really, you just go catch a game and say your favorite team is playing the Red Sox that weekend, and you know go to that hotel. One of the other things that we did too, lastly, before we get into our interviews, is that Boston is just a great food town. Always has been. Always, I think Boston has always sort of been in the shadows of New York, maybe even Chicago, and maybe even LA too. But I really think they're changing and becoming more diverse. Like I said, with the, you know, the same owner that owns the Sweet Cheek Barbecue also has Tiger Mama, you know, which is a, you know, Asian, you know, place. And, but we, because we love burgers, we went on a burger crazy tour on this one, and we went to Tasty Burger, which is right around the corner from our hotel.
Which was tasty.
And I had, like, I think I got like a PBR for like $2 or $3, you know. It was like, yes, cool. That was a cool vibe. And then Wahlburgers, of course.
One of our new favorites, yes. Well,
yeah, because, I mean, the tots were really great.
Mark Wahlberg, if you're listening to this, yes, podcast, we want to do an interview of you at Wahlburgers.
Yeah, or Donnie.
Or Donnie, or yeah. I mean, okay, we're not going to discriminate.
And a,
yes,
Wahlberg, so. Yes. And then, of course, we had to finish with Shake Shack, right?
Yes. I mean,
which is one of our new favorite places.
Yeah, you know, anytime we get a chance to do something like a cupcake tour or a burger tour, I mean, that is just right up my alley. And again, such a unique way to, I think, experience different, you know, restaurants in a city. Yeah. And, you know, it's always fun when you can have a little competition with the restaurants as well.
Well, and lastly, too, they have such diverse neighborhoods in Boston that in their north end, where the Italian,
yes,
district. We had amazing Italian and cannolis.
Yes. And the biggest cannolis I think I've ever had
like
in my whole life.
And they were like 24 hours, yes, right? Or something like that. So, yeah. I mean, really, we were well-fed in Boston and got to see a lot of really cool historic things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great, great city for food, great city for exploring and history. And obviously, you know, being a sea town, there's a lot of great seafood and different options there. So I think, you know, it doesn't matter what your budget is, you're going to find amazing food.
Right. And one of the reasons we wanted to feature Boston is that it's really a millennial city. And we kind of experienced that through some of the things that we, you know, talked to the people about. But a study in 2015 actually had 35% of Bostonians are of the ages of 20 to 34, making Boston the highest concentration of millennials out of 25 largest cities in the country. So,
which is kind of shocking,
growing,
but yeah,
growing too.
Yeah, no, that's.
And I think what they said is a lot of people, because they have so many colleges like Harvard. One of our people on the show tonight today is actually going to Harvard, and she has her own food blog. But a lot of those people end up staying in Boston. So, you know, I mean, so I think it's because they have fallen in love with the city.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's just got so many great things to offer, from sports to music to food to cultural to history, that, you know, it's just it's a great millennial city.
So first up, we spoke with lead singer of the band Street Dogs, Mike McColgan. And Mike, we talked with a couple months ago about the Street Dogs being on the new Vans Warped Tour. So if you've listened to the podcast, you've heard Mike on the show before. So he's going to talk about he's from a lifelong Bostonian, and he's going to talk to us about all the great concerts, venues, and clubs that they're all around Boston, as well as how diverse Boston is, that it might surprise you.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company, and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me, and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/etm and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/etm. Go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use code ETM for 20% off. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use EarnIn in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make EarnIn a part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
So, Mike, if you're out in Boston and you're looking for a place to have a couple of cocktails and maybe go see a show, where are some of the best places to go catch live music in Boston?
Well, just over the border from Boston is Cambridge. The Middle East is really great on Mass Ave. That's a great place to see shows.
They're going to open there's a place in Cambridge too, another place in Harvard Square called Sinclair. That's on Church Street. That's a great, great place to see bands.
And then you have, I mean, for bigger bands, you know, just like most big cities in the country, we have a House of Blues on Lansdowne Street.
Yeah.
That's a great place to see shows. The Paradise on Com Ave in Boston. Mm-hmm. You can see a lot of great shows in there. There's a lot of
good shows that come through there. That's a great
Boston venue. That's one of the ones that didn't shut down, that stayed, that saw its way through all the, you know, closings and things like that. They stood their ground and they made it through.
Yeah, well, the one thing I love about where the House of Blues is near Fenway Park, that whole area is done. And there's all kinds of great restaurants there now, and that cool hotel, the Verb Hotel and stuff. It's a really great area now.
Yeah, it is a very, very, very cool area.
One last question. What would people come into Boston and visit Boston, what would surprise them about Boston that they may not really know about Boston?
It's way more friendly. People think it's, you know, a bunch of salty townies that are going to tell you to, like, go fuck yourself. Really? I mean, that, I mean, from, I think it's from the movies.
Yeah.
Like movies like The Town and, you know, but movies like The Departed. And I think people think Boston is really, you know, like the way it's portrayed sometimes in motion pictures, or it's not. It's like really friendly. It's very, very diverse. And it, you know, it's definitely reflective of the whole melting pot, you know, theory and system that was set up for the formation of this country. It's beautiful. It's very progressive. It's not, you know, that salty, you know.
Right.
So I think that has to be probably one of the biggest misconceptions about it, you know, is that it's a bunch of mugs and, you know, the salty and mean, and, you know, you don't want to cross them. It's not very friendly. It's very friendly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people are really willing to, like, hey, where are you going to go, or what are you going to see, or where are you going to eat? They're really, like, hey, they have a ton
of
suggestions.
People are very helpful.
Yeah.
And it's very, very cool. The best time to come is when spring unfolds, right before summer.
Right.
You know, and, you know, coming into that area to show with House of Blues or going to Fenway, taking a tour of Fenway is great.
Yeah.
The tour is great. And then I'll set you up with that. That's just great. I mean, I remember when I did it, I was completely in awe. You get to go behind the Green Monster the whole bit. It's really cool.
Next up on our tour around Boston, we chatted with Boston Bites blogger and Harvard student Alana Steinberg. Alana gives us lots of great foodie tips around the ever-growing Boston food scene.
So you have a real interesting story. You're born in Boston, raised in Florida, and now you're back in Boston. You started this blog, Boston Bites. Tell us about how that happened.
I knew when I got to Harvard that no one really gets into Boston. Most people just stay on campus, don't really get out of the square too often. If my friends go into Boston three times in a semester, that's usually a lot for them. And because I have family in Boston and I have been to Boston, I spent a summer here during high school, I know how much this city has to offer. And I kind of wanted to be able to break out of that rut that all of the Harvard students typically get into. And I also, because I spent a summer here at Harvard, actually, I knew that the dining hall food wasn't really the best, right? And so I think Harvard's known for a lot of things, and its food service certainly isn't one of them. So I started Boston Bites partially as a way to break out of the mold for myself, but also as a way of just, once it started to grow, it became less of like getting out for myself and more of showing people how much the city has to offer, what kinds of experiences you can have through food, who you can meet, where you can go, and the power of just weaving your norm and weaving where you always stay and always live and finding something new, novel, and tasty.
Right. Were you planning on starting a blog at all, or are you, because you're actually a art history and psychology major?
I major in art history, and my minor is currently in psychology. And I had the idea to start the blog with it was actually my idea to start the blog. And I asked my friend, who is a childhood friend who goes to Boston University, if she wanted to do it with me. And I kind of like made the framework and the logo and the unofficial business plan for it. And this friend, Alexis, she loves eating also, but didn't really love kind of the amount of work that managing a blog is. So I ended up taking it over after a few months. But I had this idea before school started. However, I never expected it to take off. I thought it was just going to be like the original purpose of the blog, to get myself out of Harvard Square. And I think I said to Alexis when we started it, it would be really funny if I got a couple of free meals out of this. And I think I kind of realized that I had the potential to make it a bigger part of my life and more legitimate than I originally intended about 9 or 10 months after I started it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how do you see Boston Bites kind of evolving in the next couple years?
That's a terrific question, one that I get pretty often. And it's a frustrating answer for most people, but I actually have absolutely no idea. I have another year in Boston. Yeah, I know. I have another year in Boston, at least one more year. I'm not really sure 100% what I'll be doing after graduation. But like I said before, in 9 months, the blog completely changed into something I didn't expect. And then in the past 2.5 years, it's done the same thing. Again, like every 6 months, I have no idea where the blog will be. So I hope to continue to do what I'm doing now and that it will grow. And I'm excited to see where it takes me. I don't have any concrete plans for it. I'm not really sure what I will do after I graduate, if I stay in Boston or if I don't stay in Boston. So I know that's kind of an inconclusive answer for you, but I have.
No, that's really cool. I started a business when I was in college myself, and you know, had no idea where it was going to go or where it was going to lead me. So I think it just makes it, you know, more fun for your college experience, and you know, who knows what could happen.
Exactly. And it's been a really great experiment for myself in entrepreneurship, branding, business planning, which is something I never expected to do.
Yeah. And those are all like killer skills to figure out. And I think it's best that you figure it out kind of just by doing.
Absolutely. I think you can learn the concepts in a classroom, but you don't really learn until you're boots on the ground doing something. And of course, Harvard doesn't have anything with marketing or media or even business because it's a liberal arts school. So I wouldn't have the opportunity to learn that in the classroom either.
Well, I think you came to Boston at a good time. It seems like they're kind of changing a lot of the neighborhoods. And like even when we were there last year, like the Seaport District is really developed out and stuff. But Boston's always been a really great food city, but it seems like it's even getting better right now. So what kind of neighborhoods are people eating at, or that you're going to suggest people eat at, and what are they eating?
Sure. So to kind of touch upon what you've just said, yes, Boston is in a really awesome place in the food scene, and that we have so many incredible chefs and restaurants here, but it's not the foodie scene that cities like New York or San Francisco are, where everything is about the food trends. Here, it's really about the food, the chefs, the produce that creates the food, and I really appreciate how authentic and the food is here and how the scene isn't sceney. And so, yes, there are many awesome neighborhoods that are building up, especially having new restaurants. You mentioned Seaport. They are completely redoing Seaport. I'm not quite sure who that is. But they're completely redoing Seaport, and a lot of really fun young restaurants are opening there. For instance, Yo Sushi, which is it's a chain restaurant. It's actually from London. It's a conveyor belt sushi restaurant.
All right.
Yeah, it's so fun and fantastic quality. Like, you usually don't think that something which would appear to be slightly gimmicky would be good quality, but the food is truly excellent, especially their izakaya food and not just their sushi. And they also have a By Chloe, which is a New York restaurant, a vegan restaurant that opened right nearby Yo Sushi. And so because there's so much being built out there and there's so many even higher quality restaurants, there's an Ocean Prime there, a Rosa Mexicano, Tamo is there as well. There's a lot of big chains, but really high quality chains out in Seaport. And I'm excited to see if there are any kind of newer, not chain, very, again, authentic, chef-driven restaurants opening out there.
Right. What other neighborhoods do you like as well?
Sure. Cambridge actually has fantastic food. I think Cambridge is the best part of Boston for food. Hmm. You have Inman Square, which has terrific restaurants like Kirkland Tap and Trotter, Puritan & Co., Muna. And so they are those kinds of chef-driven restaurants that I keep coming back to. They are incredibly delicious, high quality, locally sourced, and really unique restaurants. And they aren't, they're relatively affordable. There's also a restaurant not in Inman Square called Coochie Coochie, which is a global tapas inspired, don't call it tapas, that is prohibition themed,
okay.
I believe. So you go in and every waiter is dressed up as a flapper, and there are 75 different cocktails, and the food is from all over the world, and it's sharing plate style. So it's just a really unique restaurant that I've never found anything else like. And it's a great place to go with friends for a big group or on a date. Or I even brought my mom there because I thought it was so fun. There are also fantastic restaurants in Cambridge and Central Square. Little Donkey just opened. In Harvard Square, we have fantastic, fantastic places. Alton and Harlow is one of my favorite restaurants in Boston. Right. And even the Kendall Square area, really everywhere in Cambridge, they are opening new restaurants every week, every month. And they are fantastic restaurants. On top of that, I really, really love Southie. They are similar to Cambridge, putting in a lot of newer, fantastic restaurants, places like Capo and Lincoln Tavern are some of my favorite places in Boston.
Right. What's it just sort of seems like throughout the city, like each neighborhood is kind of being developed. Like we even went to the last time we were there, we stayed at the Verb Hotel near Fenway Park, and and just down that area, I mean, Tasty Burger and Sweet Cheeks Barbecue and even Wahlburgers was really good in that whole area too.
Yeah, and you also have Tiger Mama.
Yeah, we didn't make it there, but I've heard that's really good. Yeah.
So one of my good friend's mother is the person who wrote the book, okay. Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother. And so when it opened, I went there with her, and it was really awesome. I got to meet Chef Tiffany.
Okay.
It's fantastic. I really enjoy Tiger Mama. If you have a chance to go there, it's really great. There's really, really fantastic restaurants anywhere you go in Boston. And I think that's true of a lot of cities, but what's different about Boston is that it's growing so rapidly and that it's developing its own identity that, like I said, is not this foodie trend-driven food scene, but rather really good quality, chef-driven, authentic dining experiences. And I think that's what really sets Boston apart from other cities that are known for their food.
Right. And kind of stepping out of the shadows of New York and any other cities as well, too.
Exactly.
Awesome.
And do a lot of your friends, you know, are they kind of into this quote unquote foodie scene as well? Are they helping to kind of drive, you know, the evolution in Boston?
So the college students, let me start that over. So, like I said, most of my friends don't get into Boston too often. And I think that Boston Bites actually really enables them to find places to go to. I get texts probably every day from friends, acquaintances, friends of friends asking me for restaurant recommendations. And that's really exciting for me because that means I'm doing what I set out to do, and that's inspire people to explore the city.
Right.
And I think what's really driving that growth in that food industry right now are 20-somethings and 30-somethings. And that's, you can see that in apps that are being developed in Boston. For instance, Voco Life, which is an app that rewards your dining and lifestyle experiences. So when you dine at a restaurant, you either get money back or a credit to Uber, Amazon, or Starbucks. And that's for people who are in their 20s and 30s only. And so I think that they're an example of a company in Boston that's really capitalizing on the people who are driving the industry.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that idea.
Well, it's really great.
Well, see what you started, though, with your blog. Now you have all your friends asking, well, where do I go?
Exactly, yeah. And I feel like
a concierge.
Every time... Yes, I somewhat feel like a concierge, but at the same time, I get to really think about the city all the time and remember my fantastic dining experiences every time somebody asks me about them. So I really love when people text me or send me emails through my website or through the Instagram page.
Lastly, we spoke with lifelong Boston native and frontman for the local band Handsome Ghost, Tim Noyes, who we featured on a podcast a couple of months ago. Tim tells us about how to spend a perfect summer day at one of the oldest ballparks in the country, Fenway Park, as well as a great way to escape the city and get your nature on at Walden's Pond.
Okay, so if anyone has one day in Boston or even the whole area, what are like two or three things that people should not miss if you're in the Boston area?
Well, if the Red Sox are playing, I think whether you like baseball or not, spending a day at Fenway Park is a wonderful experience, especially if it's a nice day. But beyond that, this would kind of require a bit of a day trip, as it's like kind of greater Boston, but I'm a big fan of Walden Pond in Concord, Massachusetts, which is where like Henry David Thoreau, Emerson. It's beautiful, especially if you can kind of like find a quiet spot, which is not difficult to do. It's just, it's rooted in history. I feel like it's like the like Massachusetts staple of Massachusetts, in my opinion.
Right. It's really anywhere you kind of get outside of the city too. There's a lot of beautiful places to kind of go check out, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. New England, I mean, every part of the country has its charm, but I think New England, the cities are nice. Boston's a great city, but the kind of like more rural areas can get really pretty, especially if you come at the right time of the year. If you're that kind of guy, it depends on what you like. But I'd probably take a trip to Walden before I would, go to Faneuil Hall. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it just depends on your preference.
Sure, sure. Well, I was impressed too how the neighborhood of Fenway Park has kind of changed too. There's so many really great restaurants and bars and stuff in that area now.
I mean, you could spend the whole day just in that like one street if you wanted to. There's like there's so many restaurants, bars, whatever, and then you kind of like take it over the park and then you can take it right on back. That's a fun day and if you don't like, if you hate sports, it's still kind of worth just like sitting around, whatever, having a beer if that's your thing. It's a nice day.
So why is Boston such a great sports town?
I think the haters would argue that we don't have anything other than sports, so that's why the teams are so important to us. Uh-huh. But it's very rare that you grow up in a family that doesn't kind of push sports on you. I don't know, it's just kind of a given that like once you get to a certain age, like you follow the sports teams. And for a while Boston was kind of pushing, like, was kind of the underdog, would always get close and then always lose. And then the last, like, 10, 15 years, that's completely changed, and now it's like, I feel like Boston is, like, the sports town in the country.
Even you growing up, like, I mean, yes, the Celtics did good, and maybe the Bruins did good, but the Patriots and the Red Sox were not at all.
No, they were awful. I mean, the 2001 was the first win. But I completely understand why people get frustrated with Boston sports fans. I get it. We're not going to apologize for it. We are who we are. Let yourself Tom Brady lives and plays forever.